This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Thursday Night Football. You heard the game right here on Sports Radio 610, as you do all the primetime games.
That's right.
The Dolphins lose. They are knocked from the ranks of the undefeated. Seth, if the they're 3-1 now. The Bengals beat them 27-15. The Eagles play the Eagles play the Jags this weekend. Ooh, that's a sneaky fun game early on in the
Jags
day.
Jags are
on
getting
Sunday.
The Jags have some good young defensive players. Watching versus that Chargers game, I mean, I really felt like Trevor Lawrence was one of the less impressive guys on the team. That if you look at the score of that game, that really was way more about the Jaguars defense creating some good opportunities for their offense early on with turnovers. And then eventually, I think the Jaguars' rushing attack kind of just taking its toll on the Chargers, and the Chargers falling apart defensively in the second half. Trevor Lawrence had some nice plays. He also, he hung one out to the sideline that was almost a pick six by Derwin James. He's just got such a long delivery. Maybe it's because he's playing for the Jaguars. I keep thinking of Byron Leftwich when I watch him throw the ball. I think that the Jaguars might just be a more complete team than anything else. It's not as much about Trevor Lawrence, although he's certainly playing better.
Yeah.
But the Jags are that is the team in the AFC South, I think, right now, that people are actually genuinely intrigued and excited to watch because of the results versus the Chargers last week mostly.
And they got the Eagles this week, so that'll be another really, really, to say it's a good test for the Jaguars. Like the Eagles might be the best team in football early on here. I bring that up because this might be, if the Eagles lose to the Jags and the Eagles are favored in that game by 6.5, so it's a winnable game for the Jags. It's not a blowout. This might be the earliest we've ever had zero undefeated teams left if the Eagles lose to the Jags this weekend. We would have no undefeated. 4 weeks into the season, there would be no undefeated teams left. That's crazy.
It's a league of parity.
It is.
Sean.
It is.
It's what they want.
It is.
It's weird. It's weird that for there to be no undefeated teams left, it still does feel like there's a pretty distinct haves and haves not division. I guess what the Jaguars might be one of the teams that you thought was a have not that have elevated themselves.
Yeah, no, there's
no
doubt.
Potentially elevate themselves.
In the eyes of the experts, you know that I like to consolidate all the power rankings into one big sheet. They are 10th in the consolidated Pendergast power rankings right now.
In the consolidated,
rankings. I consolidated across ESPN, CBS, SI.com, and a couple of others, and they are 10th.
Consolidated PPP, the Pendergast power poll.
You got that right.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yep. So they are 10th right now. The Dolphins are first as of going into this weekend. My guess is they will drop after Thursday's game based on the results of the game and the up-in-the-air status of their starting quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. He was removed from last night's game on a stretcher because of a concussion that he suffered in the second quarter of the game. Teddy Bridgewater came in, did some good things, but the Bengals ended up winning the game by 12. The big story afterwards was Tua. He made it out of the hospital and back onto the plane, back to Miami with the team. So he didn't have to stay overnight in Cincinnati. So he was well enough to fly home with the team. Mike McDaniel talked about what went into and what goes into the decision, both on Sunday when Tua got knocked out of the game and then last night when he got knocked out of the game. What's the process of deciding whether or not to put a quarterback back in?
What goes into every one of those decisions? that, you know, it starts with your medical staff, but then there's independent specialists that look into it too. There's an entire protocol, and then you're talking to the player as well. So probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 different layers of a process and decision making, like you do with all players.
Okay, so that was Mike McDaniel. Yeah.
He sounds, somebody earlier asked, does he always sound like that? Because that sounds like somebody who was talking to the principal when he knew that he'd been caught doing something. I would say that he sounds a little bit like that. I do think of it with McDaniels. He's been answering these questions all week long, and there's not really much more he can say that's going to be – there's not really any more that he can divulge that isn't what we already know, which is, yeah, there's a process there. If you want to accuse the Dolphins of skullduggery and that somehow they screwed up the process, then you'd have to have some kind of evidence that they bribed the independent doctors or something. Sean, I don't know about you. If I were an MD that had been appointed independent concussion advisor or evaluator, had traumatic brain injury evaluator for an NFL team, I'm not so sure that's the thing I'd risk my license for.
No.
Is pushing a guy back out. depending on how much money they were offering me, maybe it would. But I also think that, as you pointed out earlier, is Tua Tagovailoa the quarterback that an owner and a coach would actually want to violate the concussion call to push back out there? I don't think he gives you all that much more than Teddy Bridgewater.
No. Yeah, it's, as you brought up earlier, it's just a different way to frame it. But I think you said earlier in the show, like, yeah, there's only like 3 good quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
And that frames the question of like, okay, which quarterback? And more importantly, which opponent that quarterback is going against is worth skirting the concussion rules.
Right, right. And now that's all on the football side of things. Yeah. As far as the actual, obviously, the gravity of the situation is that it'd be a big deal to try to skirt the concussion protocol in a way that I think that more than likely, in my opinion, the most likely scenario here is that if Tua had a head injury on Sunday and it was undiagnosed and that the symptoms weren't uncovered, that it's showing an issue with the process and with the protocol right now. The protocol has made a lot of headway in a lot of ways, and it really hasn't been the topic of much discussion in the last couple of years, because I think they had reached an equilibrium where players were comfortable with it. More importantly than anything, players have an informed they're informed of the risks now. The big issue back in the day was that the NFL was not disclosing a lot of the information that they had, where now players know. And I think this is probably going to expose some potential flaws in the system, and they're going to have to tweak it and refine it. But without seeing some memo or something or evidence that the Dolphins were consciously violating it, I'd be hard-pressed to believe that's the case.
From purely a football standpoint, from a human standpoint, I obviously hated seeing what happened to Tua. From purely a football standpoint, forget that it's a concussion for a second. Let's just pretend it was a sprained ankle that knocked him out of the game. I hated seeing him go out of the game because I felt like a lot of the things that had been annoying me about the coverage of the Dolphins were about to be exposed. We're in the process of getting exposed. You know, big road game Thursday night against a good team in Cincinnati, even though they were 1-2 going into that game. That's a good football team. Tua had an interception that he clearly underthrew. He wasn't throwing the deep ball well. They had him throw a few deep balls, and none of them were good. I felt like we were on the cusp of the king being exposed to having no clothes, that kind of thing. And then he gets knocked out of the game, and I'm like, all right, now there's an excuse for everything, as he just wasn't in there. You could even say the fact that it was such a fairly benign, if there's such thing, a benign hit to the ground with the helmet, that he might have had his brain scrambled when he stepped on the field on Thursday night. I'm not a neurologist, but that was not a throw to the ground where I looked at it, Seth. The impact, I guess I'll call it, like the impact didn't look like something that should have caused what it caused.
Yeah, I guess that's just
but it's brains.
Dicey.
Yeah,
each situation is always different. I do think that I thought it looked like he got thrown to the ground. Watching on replay, including not just in slow motion, but in real time on replay, It didn't actually look like the defensive player threw him to the ground. It just, he kind of pulled him down on top of him, and then the momentum carried him to hit his head as he went to his back. But I, because at first I was wondering why there wasn't a flag on that. That's been a point of emphasis. I think the reason was that it didn't really look like the defensive player was trying to fling him to the ground,
right,
or give that second. The second action is what they're always looking at. He had like one first action to pull him down, and then the second was just his own momentum carrying him down.
If they'd thrown a flag, that would have been one where you're like, okay, what's the guy supposed to do? Like, he's trying to, like, Tua's trying to escape, and he's trying to drag him down, and yeah, I'm with you. It was a momentum situation. There were people with Tua's interception that you sent me one of the tweets. Like, I wonder if the interception would have looked a little better if they had flipped him around and made him throwing righty like they did in some of those graphics last week.
Yeah, somebody had some mirror image, the mirror view of Tua, so it made it look like he was throwing right-handed.
Yeah.
And people like Sean and others thought, like, oh my gosh, he just actually, his throwing motion doesn't bother me as much when I see him running, throwing right-handed.
Yeah.
Which, it didn't make a lot of sense to me because I can't remember a lot of other left-handed quarterbacks being specifically thinking that their throwing motion was bad or anything. Like I don't ever remember saying that Brunel's throwing motion was bad.
Yeah, it's not. I'm just going to speak for myself. I don't know about people with the throwing motion. To me, it looked like the ball comes out with more zip when he's throwing right-handed than left-handed. Like, it's the optical illusion for me isn't the throwing motion. For whatever reason, lefties always look like they're throwing softer than righties. And maybe it's a baseball thing because you get a lot of Tom Glavine-type stuff and Framber Valdez-type stuff. Like, the lefties feel more like they're kind of junk pitchers as opposed to fireballers, that kind of thing. But that was my optical illusion was I just thought it looked like he was throwing it harder as a right-handed quarterback.
We should try to do that experiment with Philip Rivers' throwing motion and see if it looks like, if he's throwing left-handed, it's like the worst thing you've ever seen.
It might be it's hideous right-handed.
Yeah, I know. That's why I wonder if seeing it lefty would be that much worse.
All right, somebody
I don't know, man. I was trying to, I've been trying to look at Tua when he throws now more, trying to be as objective as possible, saying, okay, do I have some kind of unconscious bias towards lefties? And I don't think that's it. I think he really has to heave that thing, man. He's like, has to throw his whole body into it to let a ball wobble off into the ether and then get intercepted because it's underthrown.
Someone just texted in 281-636. Is this an anti-Tua show? Mercy.
Yes. What's the rest of the text?
Is this an anti-Tua show? Mercy. And I'm like, I don't know if we've been anti-Tua in this segment. I mean, I think we've both. I think the opinion we've given on Tua as a football player mirrors what we've been giving as an opinion on Tua for the last 3 years.
We've been a little confused this year as to why one really good quarter of football all of a sudden anointed Tua Tagovailoa the king of football.
Yeah.
I don't get it when he has two ridiculously fast receivers at his disposal, one of whom is one of the best receivers in all of football. I feel like he's the Tavon Austin of quarterbacks. I think he's how great he's accurate. He's accurate on screens. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, bro. That's in the modern NFL. I feel like you need a little bit more than that.
Where did you come out on the Bengals alternate white uniforms?
Oh,
last night?
Those were cool.
You like those?
I'll tell you what this is not. This is not an anti all white Bengals uniform.
That's
show.
Right. That's right.
Those things were really cool. The white helmet, the black and white helmet, I thought I wouldn't like when I first read a headline about this during the offseason, during training camp. I thought that sounded stupid. Then actually seeing it out there, that was pretty badass. I like that. Good job, Bengals.
Yeah. It was interesting. When they first revealed them on social media a couple months ago, I was like, all right, well, we'll wait and see. But I did. I liked them. They were clean. They were nice.
Did you see Joe Burrow did not come into the game wearing all white?
What was he wearing?
I can't remember. I think it was like a big floral print suit.
Okay.
He's getting further and further. He's almost Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
I think he will be. He's going to be Russell Westbrook within 3 years unless he continues to suck like he has this season. If he doesn't stop sucking, then he can't get away with being Russell Westbrook of the NFL. I guess it would be Cam Newton in the NFL. But
yeah.
I feel like Russell is more Westbrook is more fashion forward.
Yeah.
Like you can tell he's getting his stuff in Italy and everything. Whereas Cam, I feel, is just, I think Cam's dreaming stuff up in his head and putting it out there. I feel like Burrow's going to be a little bit more like having an advisor work with him or something.
It is interesting. You know, look, if he gets his contract, he'll have a lot more disposable income with which to go buy clothes like that. The three quarterbacks in that 2020 class who would be up for extensions after the year are all going through stuff right now. You know, it's Joe Burrow, yeah. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and Herbert. Burrow and Herbert are the two big ones that we all just expected to be just like a rubber stamp contract. And then Tua, when he had that big game against Baltimore, the narrative was, oh, don't forget about Tua and paying him. We'll see. But all three of them, you know, Burrow's gone through a slow start here and an appendectomy. Tua is, I mean, we just watched what happened with Tua. He got stretchered off the field. And Justin Herbert, you know, he's got the cracked rib cartilage. Like, all three of them are going through stuff early in the season.
You know what they're doing, Sean? They're following the Lamar Jackson playbook. They're figuring, like, well, I'll just kind of – I'll be off my game this year so I won't tantalize or tempt them too much with giving me the really good contract because yeah. I know the cap is going up. So then I'll wait until Lamar Jackson gets paid, and then I'll we'll wait one extra year. Be careful with that, Joe Burrow. I don't think you can quite pull that off, especially with your franchise. I think the Bengals will be more than happy to just keep paying the going rate.
Like, let it ride.
They would pay the franchise tag for a year, and people say, "Yeah, but then you don't have enough money to spend on other players." And they'll say, "Yeah, we're the Bengals. We don't care." Right. And it'll be Joe Burrow in his seventh season.
All right,
before he gets a new contract.
Speaking of spending money, Carlos Correa. Did an interview with Fox, the Fox TV station up in Minneapolis. That's going to be a big topic up there. Will Carlos Correa be back for a second year with the Twins? If you listen to what he had to say and the comparison he had to make, it sounds like the answer is an emphatic no. Will this audio make you glad that the Astros told Carlos Correa to vamos? We will discuss that next. And we're going to keep getting you ready for Chargers and Texans on Sunday. A reminder, Texans countdown, 9 a.m. presented by Modelo, kickoff at noon, and then Texans postgame following the game with me and Clint Sterner.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so for the teams that are not going to be playing in the postseason in Major League Baseball, the construct of their roster is going to become the next big topic, and one of those teams is the Minnesota Twins. For the first time since 2016, a team that includes Carlos Correa will not be making the postseason. The Minnesota Twins were his employer this year. He's under a three-year contract, but he can opt out after each of those 3 years. And it looks like that's the direction the wind is blowing right now with Carlos Correa, that he's going to opt out of his deal. He did an interview with the Fox affiliate up in the Twin Cities, and they asked him about what needs to happen in order for you to stay a Minnesota Twin.
I go to the mall, and I go to the Dior store, and I want something, I get it. I ask how much it costs, and I buy it. So if you really want something, just go get it. So, I'm the product here, and if they want my product, you know, they just gotta come get it.
He's okay. I like Carlos Correa. The lack of self awareness is so funny to me. Like,
the need to point. I feel like somebody told him that in storytelling, the more detail, the better. Like, people like to be able to visualize it. You don't endear yourself to the baseball fan by pointing out that you're going to the Dior store.
Well, like, and that you can, basically implies he can walk into the store and buy whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah. If I want something.
Yeah, when I first saw the quote on Twitter, I didn't know what it was about. I only saw the video and the quote that they pulled, and I'm like, is he basically bragging about how much money he makes? Like, if I go to the Dior store and want something to buy, I'll just go get it. Like, it sounds like a wrestling heel. Sounds like the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. The only thing that's missing is him cackling afterwards and saying, ha, 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 everybody's got a price for the million-dollar man.
That's right. Like, honestly, I just pulled up Dior.com real quick. The first things that popped up were, let's see, there's a hoodie for $1,900. If Carlos wants a $1,900 hoodie, Carlos is going to buy the $19 hoodie. There's a bikini top, Sean, just the top.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a Dior bikini top in blue for $550.
Yeah.
That feels like a relative bargain after the hoodie.
Can you sound like a bigger douchebag? My God. Let's play one more time, Ben. I got to hear that one more time. Like,
I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store and I want something, I get it. I ask how much it costs and I buy it. So if you really want something, you just go get it. So, that's
okay.
I'm the product here, and if they want my product,
listen, you jerk. Not all of us can want something and just go get it. Like, you want something, Sean, you go get it.
Huh? Sean, that sounded. How awesome would that be if that was like his motivational speech to a junior high?
I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store, and I want something, I get it.
What a jackass.
Hey kids, here's the thing. Anything in this world that I want, I just go pay for it.
I can get
clothes, sex, drugs, whatever. I've got the cash. That's the lesson. If you want something in this world, just go pay a bunch of cash for it. And boom, there it is. People make this way too complicated. A lot of times I see people saying like, oh, how am I going to pay my mortgage? You pay for it.
Why does everybody?
I see all these people offering financial advice. I'm like, oh, I got to send my kids to college and I don't have the money. Hello? You just pay for it.
You just go. You show up. You get, they ask you, to pay, you pay.
You got like $50 million in your brokerage account. You just pay for it. Duh.
One more time. I got to hear this. I can't believe
I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store and I want something, I get it. I ask how much it costs and I buy it. So if you really want something, you just go get it. So, I'm the product here. And if they want my product, you know, they just got to come get it.
He is, you know what he is too, in his mind, in his estimation? He is the Cactus Jack Dior saddlebag. It's a black grained calfskin with embroidered signature for $3,800.
$3,800.
You walk in and I'm like, listen, if there's one thing I know is that when I need a saddlebag, I go the hell to Dior Stat.
Yep.
And get myself the old $3,800 black grained calfskin one.
Absolutely.
That's how you know you're
a man.
When you show up at the ranch with your Dior saddlebag, that's when the cowboys know to treat you with respect.
Boy, that guy is tougher than a $2 steak. How do you know? Look at his saddlebag. Thinks $3,800 at Dior. They got that thing at Dior for $3,800. That's how tough he is. All right?
Walking in.
Look at the blue bikini top he got for $550 at Dior.
Looking like the Brock Osweiler cowboy.
Oh, yes. What was the other thing you said for $1,900? What was the first item you looked up?
The $1,900 was the hoodie, I believe.
The hoodie, yeah. This guy comes in, got on a hoodie for $1,900, and then you know how I knew he was tough? $3,800 saddlebag from the Dior.
The one that gets me at some of the high fashion places are the T-shirts.
Yes.
I know they're nice materials and everything, but man, like $850 for an oversized Cactus Jack Dior T-shirt. That's a lot of money for a T-shirt, man.
Yes, it is.
I don't want to go all Macklemore on you, but that's a lot for a T-shirt.
Maybe, not for Carlos Correa. He just walks in and buys whatever the hell he wants. What you're complaining about, you peasant.
I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store and I want something, I get it.
That's it. That's it. You just get it.
The Cactus Jack Dior sneaker at Dior is $1,450.
Oh.
It's a good looking sneaker, I'll tell you that.
That's how you look tough. The saddlebag and the Dior sneakers, man.
Some of the ones they really go, I'm impressed. They've got a Croc collection at Dior. I got to go hang out.
Okay, wait, hold up. Stop. How much are Crocs from Dior?
I don't know. You just pay for them. You just buy it.
It doesn't matter the number.
Honestly, I'm getting a little tired of you asking the price of things when it's such a paltry detail to guys like Carlos.
Seth, you know it's not for me. It's for all the paupers that are listening to us right now.
They
want to know. Yeah,
the people that can't have to ask how much something
costs.
Right,
they don't have the power to ask. I've got the microphone. Yeah.
People that actually paid attention to how much they paid for their saddlebags.
Losers.
Clowns.
Total losers. Total. But seriously, how much are the Crocs?
I'm trying to find them back again here. Shoes, sneakers, boots, sandals, and slippers. Is it a loafer or a sandal and a slipper? I guess it's a sandal and a slipper.
I guess.
They got Birkenstocks for $1,100.
Jeez, my God.
So you... Because, you know, there's nothing like the hippie with $1,100.
I'm telling you, with every item you read, Carlos Correa sounds like a bigger jackass. It's
when he goes and gets his Dior Aqua sandal for $750.
$750 for Aqua sandals. What the hell?
Yeah.
No.
That's what we do, Carlos and I. Yeah. We just get stuff.
Yeah.
I can't find the Crocs again. Hold on a second. I'm going to use a search function here. That's what Carlos and I do. We're technically advanced.
Carlos,
the Crocs might have been a myth, but the Birkenstocks are real.
Okay, yeah, that's
Birkenstocks are real.
Yeah, similar category. All right, so the question is, once we're done shopping at Dior.com, is Carlos Correa going to get the offer that he's waiting for? Do general managers around baseball think that they would find Carlos Correa in a Dior store right now?
I don't think he's going to get the deal that he thought he was going to get last year.
Agreed.
But I think he'll get a better offer than he got last year just because he's now had a full year with Boris as his agent.
Yeah.
I think that he probably feels pretty comfortable and confident, and they've made the inroads to where they need to make the inroads. And so I think he'll get a better offer than whatever the Astros offered him, but it's not going to be a 10-year deal.
I wonder what the number is. Like, I wonder what Carlos's number is to keep from signing another 1-year opt-out deal somewhere. You know,
by the way, you know, Crocs have kind of made like a fashion
comeback?
I would say a comeback, but I don't think they were ever really considered fashionable. Where now, when I've been out at the mall, I'll see like well-dressed young kids wearing Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not ironically, I don't think. So there's, but I don't think that you and I can get away with it, Sean.
Have you ever owned a pair of Crocs?
No, I've heard that they're astoundingly comfortable. I mean, we can get away with it. Like I'm saying. Wear Crocs if you want to wear Crocs,
right.
But we're going to get made fun of like the same way, you know, we do for other for our cargo shorts, you know, like we just look like frumpy middle-aged dudes wearing cargo shorts, where when like the young fashionable kids are wearing it, it's okay. But listen, when I go to Target, Sean, and I see a pair of Crocs and some big baggy cargo shorts that I want,
what do you do?
I buy them.
Yes.
That's what I do. I just buy them.
Of course you do.
You know? It's as simple as that.
Yep.
When I am the Crocs.
Yeah.
And if you want the Crocs, you're going to have to come slide your feet into them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I'm into.
When I go to Target and I want a Led Zeppelin t-shirt from their t-shirt rack that they've got over there, along with perhaps a pair of AirPods, I just buy it. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I go there. They have good t-shirts at Target. Yeah. They have good t-shirts there.
They've got good rock t-shirts.
Yes.
You can actually, with a lot of, sometimes when I see like the classic, awesome, good rock t-shirts
that
they have there.
And the material's nice. It's nice, soft material.
Yeah, Target has a, listen, I don't want to sound like
this
I'm not a fan of the people here. I can get t-shirts at Target, okay? I don't have to get them. I don't have to get them in half-price books or wherever you people get your t-shirts.
Right.
I can get a t-shirt at Target, okay?
Yeah.
I'm at that point in my life.
Yep.
All right? I'm not going to be embarrassed about it.
And if you see one, Seth, and you want it, what is it that you do?
I buy it.
You buy it. Of course Duh. You do. Of course you do. Because you're made of
money.
How
much does a t-shirt even cost at Target? Is it 37 cents? Is it $487? I don't know. Because I don't bother. I don't bother checking the price
I don't
tags.
Look. I don't
no,
look. Yeah.
Of course not.
I just hand them my card, my black card, when I walk in and say, leave that open. Okay? I'm going to leave it running. I'm going to leave the tab running.
I go to, and then I stop at the Starbucks on my way out of Target,
yep,
and I see if I have any coupons that they're accepting, and then I'll get a tall to a grande latte.
You don't even care.
I don't even ask like what they want for it.
Right. Yeah. They say what size do you want, sir? And you just go surprise me. All right, surprise me.
I want something.
When they see my graphic tee, they know I'm business.
That's right. And I walk up there with my Journey t-shirt. They know that I'm somebody who spends money in this joint. All right. In the Loop is going to join us in the next segment, and we will find out what they got going on the show. Final thoughts before we head into the weekend as well on the Texans and the Chargers. We got to get on the record, too, is what we think is going to happen at this thing on Sunday. It's noon kick here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I get you started with Texans Countdown, presented by Modelo at 9 a.m. In the Loop joins us on the show next.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, you guys are weighing in on the Carlos Correa. Hey, if you want something, just buy it. Cut. text message from 832-202. When I go to a 99-cent store, I see what I want. I buy it.
Yeah. It's simple.
It's stupid.
You just do that. You know, a lot of times, sometimes some people will walk into a dollar store and say, hey, I thought everything was supposed to be a dollar here. Those people are embarrassing themselves. Sometimes I'll pay as much as $3 or $4 for an item at the dollar store. I don't care. Sean, I don't care.
Are you sure that you're even paying $3 or $4? You don't even look at what you're paying, do you?
Sometimes people have objected because there's protesters outside.
Oh, okay.
Saying false advertising and stuff.
So you'll know.
They'll say, sir, do you feel upset that you just bought 4 notebooks for $3? I'm like, it's all paper to me. I don't know whether the money, the paper, the notebook, whatever. It's all the same.
When Sean wants testosterone, he just goes and buys it. That's true. At the men's tea clinic. Absolutely.
Or he accepts it as payment.
Mm-hmm.
Sean walks around places. Sean says, when I want something, I just endorse it. Sean barely ever actually pays for anything. He goes into, he'll go to an amusement park and be like, hey, listen, I'll wear a t-shirt that says Six Flags on it if you let me ride your roller coaster.
Hell yeah.
They do it.
It's part of the business. You should say whenever your credit card texts you, if you made a charge after shopping, just text back whatever.
Yes, no, whatever.
It's 281384. Good job. All right, so this game on Sunday, Seth, Chargers and the Texans. I actually feel better about this game. I feel better, not a big shock, I feel better about it now than I did before the season, and why wouldn't you? Which sounds weird to say because the Texans are 0-2-1, but man, this Chargers team is banged up. They are super banged up. They've got guys playing, including their quarterback, that are banged up. They've got guys that are missing that are incredibly important to this team. Joey Bosa, Rashawn Slater, they're going to be missing. I think this, I actually feel decent about the Texans staying inside the number on this one. I don't know, I can't pick them to win because they haven't won a game yet this year, and until they start straightening things out in the fourth quarter, I have a hard time picking them to make plays in a close game. But I do think they can keep this game close.
I think they can keep this game close. I want to see them do something in the fourth quarter. I would actually feel like it was a moral victory if they pull within three late in the fourth quarter or something. If they are tempted to kick an onside kick in this game for aggressive purposes and not complete and total desperation purposes, then I would actually feel like that was a moral victory.
Am I being greedy by taking that a step further and saying, you know what? I would like them to actually be behind going into the fourth quarter of this game, unlike the previous games they've played, and take a lead, like come back in the fourth quarter. You can lose the game eventually because this defense has its issues. But how about making some plays in the fourth quarter where you're actually leading in the fourth quarter against this team? How about that?
Yeah, I think that there are understandable explanations and excuses that you have to take into account. I watched that game last night, and I'm looking at the receiving core of both of those teams, and Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa both looked awful in the first half. You know, all due respect to Tua Tagovailoa and his injury, but before he got injured, he looked awful, even despite having those really good receivers. So you have to account for the fact that Davis Mills does not have nearly that in his receivers room. But yet, I'd like to see a glimpse of something where he's elevating the people around him.
Yes, absolutely. I'm enthusiastic about the pass rush in this game because the Chargers have a banged-up offensive line. They're missing their left tackle. Their center is, if he's going to play, is at the very least kind of banged up. He had a knee that he missed the game with last week. And I think in this game, getting hits on Justin Herbert are almost as good as getting sacks on Justin Herbert based on the injury that he's dealing with right now.
Yeah, and I think that you know, Jerry Hughes is another nice story that's flying a little bit under the radar because it's early in the season. You know, we've seen, like, Whitney Merciless jump out early in a season with a bunch of sacks before. Jerry Hughes has 4 sacks. I believe he's tied for 2nd or 3rd in the NFL right now. A bunch of guys have 4 sacks. So that's very, very good. And it's not just all by random chance. He's winning a pretty good, a pretty high percentage of his one-on-one pass rushes. So I think it's indicative of an improved pass rush. I think Malik Collins is doing a lot of good stuff that hasn't necessarily shown up on the stat sheet. It would be great if you can't get the run defense going, if they could really develop a nice pass rush that results in Jalen Petrie interceptions and Derek Stingley interceptions, some of that, then you can start to feel like, okay, this is something with which we can work moving forward. Obviously, Jerry Hughes isn't going to be here long, long term, but you've got the framework for something to build and be respectable moving on into future
years. Alex Highsmith leads the NFL in sacks right now with 4.5 from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jerry Hughes is tied with Micah Parsons, Khalil Mack, and Nick Bosa with 4.
Oh, damn.
Those are some pretty good names right there to be tied with, I would say.
That's high company. I got to say, if I had to handicap that, I don't think he's going to hang with those guys for the entire season. But
give me some odds, though. Give me 15 to 1. Yeah. Can I get value on it?
Can I tell you something? Yeah. I saw an article the other day, and it made me want to vomit. It was a thread stream, but it was like one of these, it was an analytical kid who's real bright, and I actually like some of his articles, but he spent way too much time on this. He showed, mind you, T.J. Watt had how many sacks last year? Was it 22?
Yeah, 22.
So T.J. Watt had 22 sacks last year. He has this article evaluating whether Micah Parsons is having more success as a pass rusher than T.J. Watt because Micah Parsons has his outside foot up in his two-point stance instead of his inside foot up in his two-point stance. And then he went on to break it down like he was like breaking brand new ground here that nobody had ever thought about this. Like this is something that pass rushers totally think about. It has everything to do with the rhythm of the pass rush, the offensive lineman's pass set, what your pass rush responsibilities are. And it just is the kind of thing that bothers me because it's like, yes, Micah Parsons is having a fantastic season. Why the hell do you have to all of a sudden turn it into like, oh, he's better than T.J. Watt based on three games worth of work? I don't get it.
On something that appeals to like 2% of the audience. Like, I had no idea what you were
Oh, yeah, I know. I see your subtle criticism. No, the problem was he got like 400 retweets and people were lauding him like he discovered gravity or something. Like, yeah, this is something that pass rushers thought. T.J. Watt has put thought into his pass rush stance.
Yeah.
More than you have, stat guy.
No, yes, I'm just saying as a player, that would appeal to you more than it would appeal to me. Like the stance and the technique and things like that. I don't know that the average Joe like myself cares about that stuff. John Lopez and Landry Locker are in here. We care about both of them.
What's up, Average
Joe? What's going on? Yeah. Do you guys have you guys ever bought anything at the Dior store before?
No. Dude. That talk about pushing
some
buttons.
You ever just gone in and bought it?
This was Roger Dorn.
You like it?
This was Roger Dorn.
It was Roger Dorn, 100%.
Yeah, from Major League.
Yeah.
The problem is he hadn't been that great. Like, if Aaron Judge said this, I would be like, okay, I gotcha. You know, Triple Crown, 61, all that. Like, Carlos Correa has been okay.
Yeah, I've watched 6 Twins games this year. They've all been against the Astros. And so I'm not going off of, like, I've watched every inning, and therefore, here's... I'm just looking at the numbers, you know, from a durability standpoint, from a productivity standpoint. Like, he's no better than he was last
year. He's Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah.
Like, he's Nordstrom Rack. Yeah. That's what he is. You're Nordstrom Rack. You're a good player. It's a great place to go. I actually
got a little bit of money.
I actually like it more than most places to go, but you're Nordstrom Rack. You ain't do yours, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just looking
at he's not a $3,900.
Go ahead.
He's not a $3,900 saddlebag.
No.
That's right. No.
That's right.
That you can get at Dior.
The read the room, the tone deaf, that's what just pushed my button. This sounded like something Deshaun Watson would say.
Yes. Yeah.
100%.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
No doubt. Yep. Yeah. No doubt.
And he doesn't have a postseason this year to put more good film out there, so to speak.
Gets like more Dior stuff.
A big part of his role. Well, no, but a big part of Carlos Correa's appeal, presumably, is how clutch he is in the postseason. And it's like he's had a bunch of his billboards ripped down.
You know what? I don't think that Deshaun, like, because Deshaun obviously wears really nice, expensive clothes, but I think he actually is still in touch enough with his upbringing and everything to where he understands the difference between flaunting it. Like, so somebody asked me, like, did Carlos grow up rich or something? Like, no, he came from very humble beginnings. His dad was like, worked his ass off. Now, like, it's weird. It's weird.
Yes. It's a heel turn. I'm always here for a good heel turn. What's going on the show today?
All right. So in the spirit of that, I'm giving Lopez some last minute homework. 11:20. What store are the most prominent figures in town?
Okay.
If Carlos Correa thinks he's Dior, what are the most prominent figures in town?
He's licking his chops over there.
That's at 11:20. We got the Lone Star rankings coming up. You guys embrace the hate. I'm embracing the love. It's all love here. Okay. The best things about the Chargers over the course of history.
Okay, I'm here for a good counterpoint.
And plus, Pep Hamilton, what the hell are you talking about? The worst thing that has been said this season was said yesterday by Pep Hamilton, and it went under the radar. What the hell is wrong with you? I've tried to defend you.
Didn't go under the radar on this show.
10:20.
Oh, boy.
Y'all will not believe what Pep Hamilton said at 10:20, and I don't know what the hell it means, Pep.
Okay. Well, that there is a tease, my friends. Seth?
I think Landry just called us the mainstream media.
I know. We let stuff fly under the radar. I feel complicit. All right, we're
Sean
done.
Sean and Seth will not tell you about what Pep Hamilton said.
That's right.
But I will.
We are the mainstream media. All right, we are done.
They want you to believe.
Antibodies to you, Seth. Antibodies to everybody. And we'll see you all 9 a.m. Sunday for Texans Countdown. You'll see Seth tomorrow and hear him here for Battle of the Piney Woods. Have a great weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.